how do we describe the character of Jesus? Jesus is... How would you fill in that blank? What we understand about Jesus' character could shed light on the path to becoming who we were made to be. I'm Joseph Williams, an intern here at West Valley Christian Church, where we exist to love God and love people. We're in a series called Jesus Is. We will be answering that question. Join us as we see the real Jesus come to life. You are King.
See you in the morning when the sun rises above. So we start a brand new series today called Jesus Is, but I think we need to just pause again for a moment. And I want you to bow your heads and I want you to pray for me silently. And then I want you to pray for your heart. And then I'll close this off in a second. God, thank you for hearing my prayers. Thank you for hearing our prayers. We're excited to see what you're going to continue to do in this place. In the powerful name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. So, how would you finish this sentence? Jesus is blank. Jesus is blank. How would you do that? Now, if I were to go out on the streets, and actually we had a video to share with you, but we'll show it next week. But you go out on the streets and people are going to say, Jesus is crazy. Or Jesus is a good teacher. Or Jesus is a lunatic. Or a liar. Some would say Jesus is the Son of God. So some would say that Jesus is my homeboy. You've seen that shirt, right? I don't know how you would finish that sentence. But in this series, we're going to talk about who Jesus is. Not according to Pastor Rob or the person on the street or the person that is on the television that seems like he or she knows what they're talking about. But we're going to see what the Bible says, who Jesus is. Do you remember the original game show called To Tell the Truth? Don't raise your hand unless you want it. You're like loud and proud. Yeah, I remember it. Well, they've made a remake of that, right? To Tell the Truth. And what they did back in the day is they had three contestants that came from some kind of profession. So we could say, oh, one of these is a real televangelist, right? And so they'd have these three contestants, and then they had celebrities trying to figure out which one was telling the truth. And they'd answer all these different questions. And then at the end, do you remember this? Will the real televangelist please stand up? And they all pretend like they're coming up. And then finally one stands up, right? And that's the real one. The others are the imposter. Well, I want to tell you there's a lot of imposters out there as to who Jesus is. But we're going to have the real Jesus stand up. Amen? All right. So we're going to go to Luke chapter 19. And if you need a Bible, raise your hand. And these fine gentlemen are going to make their way down and get you one. I know a lot of you are using the YouVersion Bible app, which I think is absolutely amazing. So we've got Luke chapter 19, and because I'm always thoughtful and generous and kind, I'm going to help you find it. It's right after Luke 18. So we got Luke 19. I know, I'm a giver. I can't probably do that second service, but Luke 19. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man there by the name of Zacchaeus. I know you're just dying to say it with me, so let's just all call out his name. Are you ready? Zacchaeus. Let's do it again. Zacchaeus. Now do it again without spitting on the person in front of you. It was like it was raining inside here. Zacchaeus. All right, so Zacchaeus, he was a chief tax collector. That's where you're supposed to go what? Boo. Oh, that was so good. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. Boo. I'm like, yay. He wanted to see who Jesus was. Oh, my gosh. It was like he was wanting to fill in the blank of Jesus is what, right? It's coincidence. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, Don't say boo to that. Pastor Kirby's in here. But he... Sorry.
You can boo me.
But being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. Man, I feel bad. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. And all the people saw this and began to mutter, he's gone to a sinner's house. Bum, bum, bum. I mean, this is story time with Pastor Rob here. This is good stuff, isn't it? Come on, it's the word of God. And it says he went and hung out with a sinner. Well, we're going to look at Zacchaeus. And I want you to write this down if you're taking notes. Jesus is a friend. That's how we're going to fill in that blank today. Jesus is a friend. And we're going to peel this back and we're going to dive into it and see if this is true according to this story right here. We learn a little bit about Zacchaeus. Right out the gate, Zacchaeus is a man. And okay, so what? But this matters in this culture, doesn't it? And so because he's a man, he may be a wee little man, but he's got high stature just for the fact that he's a man. Then we read the passage, and it says right after that he is a tax collector. But not just any tax collector. He's what kind of tax collector? He's a chief tax collector. He would have been looked upon. He would have been, again, this is culture. It hasn't really changed much in 2018. He would have been looked upon as a thief, as a gangster, as the bad guy. He would have not been favorably looked upon because of his profession. Tax collector, what's so bad about them? Well, their job was to collect taxes on behalf of the Roman government, who was hated. And so the government would say, this is what so-and-so owes, and you need to go up and you need to get that money. But then part of the position, what allowed in that position was you could go up to so-and-so and say, the government says you owe this much money, but then you add your fee to it. And being a generous Jew, Zacchaeus was known for being incredibly gracious on that fee, correct? No. Matter of fact, up to 3 to 4 times the amount that was owed, he would go up to that person and say, this is what you owe. And everybody knew the system. Everybody knew the system. They knew what was happening. And this is why they were despised, because the Jews would do, or Zacchaeus would do this to his own people. He would rob his own people. Now, let's say that's a tax collector and he's a man. So you got all this power right there. But then he's the chief tax collector. So he had his posse, right? He had all those tax collectors under him. So not only did he get his fee, but he got his cut of the fee from everyone else. If you could just imagine, this guy had a lot of money. He was wealthy. You can imagine that he climbed the ladder of being the kid that was never picked for any of the sports teams. Because remember, we could add to this list short, right? He was a kid at recess. I know, this is the aw. He was a kid at recess. When everyone got picked, he was the leftover. I know. Now, I can make fun of this because I was always the shortest kid. Always. And here's this wee little man, as one of the children's songs says, that probably developed some of his insecurities and who he was at this young age. And now he's got what you call little man's complex, right? The Napoleon complex. Before Napoleon was ever a speckle in his mother's eye, Zacchaeus had this. Why am I spending so much time on this? Because this is a real human being. that had real power but had real insecurities, that had real popularity but also had real real loneliness. He was a man that he would struggle even with himself when he was outside of everybody else's view. And I think many of us would understand that. Many of us could relate to this pain that this man had. Maybe not specifically his pain, but you can understand what he must have dealt with on a daily basis when he woke up. Amen? So here you have this man who was a chief tax collector, who was wealthy. He was probably even hated because of that wealth. And maybe on the outside, he had a strut about him. He had a look about him. He had the big house. Maybe the women on either arm. Maybe the jealous eye of so many. This is who we read about in Luke chapter 19. Even with this, we know that there's something missing. Because in verse 3 it says, he wanted to see who Jesus was. Right? If there was nothing missing in his life, if wealth and accomplishment and status was all that life was about, why in the world would he want to go see this Jesus? Are you in agreement with that? Right? I mean, why in the world would he want to go do this? But I think this tells us that there was something missing in this man's life. He didn't know who this Jesus was, and he wanted to learn. He wanted to see who this great teacher, this miracle worker was that everyone was talking about. How would Zacchaeus have filled in the blank before his encounter with Jesus? If you and I walked up to him and said, Jesus is, what would he have said? I don't know, limited information, but probably good teacher, powerful man. Maybe, just maybe, I'm just thinking about this, maybe he wanted to go see Jesus too because maybe he was a threat to his popularity, right? This guy was getting all this attention when I wanted the attention. I don't know. What was Jesus to Zacchaeus before he actually met him? Well, there's a book called Jesus Is by Judah Smith. And he writes this about Zacchaeus. He says, no, he just wanted to check out the popular guy. Zacchaeus was all about status. You don't become a tax collector and then a chief tax collector and not like money and status. He was famous in a negative sense, but famous nonetheless. Zacchaeus is an innovative guy who is used to getting his way. So he hitches up his blinged out robe and runs ahead, gold chains clanking, and climbs up a sycamore tree. Do you see this picture? So he runs nonetheless to see who this Jesus is, and he climbs up this sycamore tree. That's got to be funny. I mean, here's this guy that has all this status. He's got all this power, and he's so stinking short, he can't even see above the crowd, so he's got to climb up this tree. And it's not like he had his Nike shorts on, right? I mean, he's got a robe here, you know, and I'll just leave it at that. And he's got status. And yet, in his desperation or in his curiosity, he climbs up this tree. And then the Bible says this. He says, as Jesus was sitting there or standing there, he says, when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. Jesus knows Zacchaeus' story. He knows that he's hated. He knows that he's a thief. He knows that he's selfish. He knows that he's self-consumed. He knows that he's cheated his own people. He knows that he's short. He knows all this stuff about him. And with this crowd, he looks up at Zacchaeus and calls him by name. The sweetest sound to a human is when his or her name is spoken. And if he is hated as much as I think he is in this culture, I'm not even sure his name is heard often in a pleasant way. But today would be different. Can you picture this? Zacchaeus hears his name come out of the mouth of the Son of God. And not only does he call him by name, but he says to Zacchaeus, he says, immediately get out of that tree, and I want to go hang out with you. Can you imagine how many people never said that phrase to Zacchaeus? Could you imagine how many people never wanted to see Zacchaeus, let alone spend a meal with Zacchaeus, to hang out with Zacchaeus, to be in his house with Zacchaeus? Can you picture this? See, sometimes we just run through scripture and we forget exactly who Jesus is dealing with here. But Jesus is dealing with an outsider. He's dealing with someone that has some kind of void in his life, even though in the worldly sense, he had it all. And Jesus looks at him and calls him by name, and not only calls him by name, but says, I want to hang out with you. Think about that person that you put up on a pedestal. Maybe it's someone an actor or an actress or a musician or a politician or a sports figure or someone that you just hold up really high. And that person, in the midst of a crowd, were to call out your name, he'd be like, oh, you must be mistaken. And then, no, you see, the eyes are locked on you, and that person, he or she says, I want you to come over here, and we are going to go hang out at your house. You're like, oh, no way. Now, as awesome as that would be, picture the Son of God calling your name and saying, I want to hang out with you, where everybody has labeled you as the sinner. Jesus labels you child of God. Are you with me, church? Well, Jesus gives the invitation. In verse 6, we see the response to the invitation. So he what? So he came down immediately. He didn't sit up in the tree and go, you know, Jesus, let me think about this. You know, Jesus, can you give me some more time? Hey, Jesus, can I phone a friend? Jesus, can you tell me all about who you are before I let you into my house? The invitation was given quickly, and he responded what? Quickly. And all the people saw this and began to mutter, he is gone to be a guest of the sinner. Bum, bum, bum. And Jesus took his disciples, because I'm sure they were on the way from Jericho to Jerusalem, which would be about 17-mile trip. And he took his disciples, and he hung out with Zacchaeus. Sure, it was a great place because they could hang out and sleep there. Zacchaeus probably had a big enough house for that, right? And yet, here they are sharing one of the most intimate things you could do back in this day. And the truth is, it really can be the same thing today, is a meal with one another. And Jesus is sharing a meal with a sinner. And I imagine there was a lot of talking that happened that day. And it wasn't Jesus. I'm sure Zacchaeus just kept talking and talking and talking and sharing his story and looking at the eyes of compassion from who? Jesus. And feeling overwhelmed and sitting there the whole time going, I cannot believe I'm hanging with Jesus. And I can't believe he's listening to me. And I can't believe that he's giving me attention. And I can't believe, and I can't believe, and this conversation is going on. He saw compassion in Jesus' eyes. Not rejection, which is what he may have expected, or what he may have seen his entire life. Well, this meal was life-changing for him, wasn't it? It was life-transforming for him. Why? Glad you asked. Luke chapter 19. After sharing this meal and hanging out with Jesus, in verse 8, it says, but Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord. By the way, look at his response. Look, Lord. Do you think now Jesus is blank, has changed from when he was up in the tree? He says, Lord. He understands that this is the Son of God now. And he's my friend. He knows my name. He's heard my story. He's going to hang out with me despite the fact that I'm a sinner. That's pretty awesome. He says, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. If I had cheated, which means what? I have cheated. And then he says, pay back four times the amount. Why four times? Because he knew that's what he usually did. Are you with me? Is this making sense? There's no great story here of Jesus going, okay, and now we need to turn to the book of Isaiah, and you need to see that I'm coming, and I'm going to be born of a virgin, and I'm going to be a wonderful counselor, an almighty God, and you need to look at Hezekiah, you need to look at Jeremiah, you need to look at Haggai, and there was all this preaching that went on. It was just Jesus hanging out with a sinner, sharing a meal, looking at him with eyes of compassion, and hanging out with Jesus transforms you. Hanging out with Jesus changes you. Amen? I mean, to the point where you never see this, and I guarantee you Jesus didn't go, and you need to, before you follow me, you need to change, and you need to give back to all these people. Just hanging out with Jesus caused this in his heart, and he did this on his own because Jesus took him in as a friend. It's not necessary for us to know what was shared in that conversation. What's necessary is who shared. Amen? And it was Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus changed my life, Zacchaeus would have said. Jesus said to him, verse 9, today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save that which was lost. What's that do for your heart today? I hope it encourages you. I hope it inspires you. For those of you that have been walking with Jesus for such a long time, put yourself there. Remember when you were Zacchaeus and you wanted to know who Jesus was, and I'm guaranteeing probably none of you climbed a sycamore tree to figure that one out. Maybe in this crowd there is one. But what did you do? What was it in your life that caused you to ask the question or to fill in the blank a little differently as to who Jesus is? And allow this to remind you of the journey that God has brought you on. To the person that's sitting here for the very first time hearing that Jesus, the Son of God, is really somebody that wants to come alongside of you and have a relationship and wants to be your friend. That's not common verbiage, is it? For some of us in our experience, because of the guilt and the shame and the mistakes that we've made, we've put ourselves in a category of going, if he wants to be my friend, he doesn't want to be my friend because I'm a really messy fish. Zacchaeus was really messy, would you agree? And Jesus called him by name with those eyes of compassion, sat and hung out with him. And by the time that meal was over, not only was Jesus Lord, but he was friend. Jesus is a friend. If you go to Matthew chapter 9, and we're not going to delve through this story. I just want to bring you there so that you could read it this week. But this was not the only tax collector that Jesus hung out with. We know that Matthew was a tax collector. And we read in Matthew chapter 9:9 that Jesus came to him also. And Jesus invited himself over to hang out with Matthew. And there were many sinners there, many tax collectors. And Jesus hung out with them. And then in verse 12 of Matthew chapter 9, it says, on hearing this, Jesus said, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but I've come to call who? I've come to call the sinners. In the passage in Luke 19, it says he came to seek and save that which was lost. I don't know about you, but without Christ, I was lost. And I know our world without Christ is lost. And we can't bring everybody to the cross before we come to the cross ourselves. Before we climb down the sycamore tree and say yes to Jesus as our friend. So if you're taking notes, it says Jesus is a friend, and we know he's a friend of sinners. Ask the woman caught in adultery. Again, he loves her when no one else would love her, and he just loved her so much that when everyone else fled, he says, did anyone condemn you? And she says, no. She was probably surprised by that. And he says, neither do I. He didn't give her a lecture on what a sinner she was. He said this with eyes of compassion. I don't condemn you either. Just go live a better life, right? Go and sin more. This is why Jesus is a friend of ours. And so if you're taking notes, Jesus is a friend. The second thing, Jesus is your friend. Jesus is your friend. See, we could talk about somebody in the scripture thousands of years ago, but what about today? Well, Jesus is your friend. And I see this over and over again, that Jesus is a friend of sinners. He's a friend of the brokenhearted. He's a friend of those that have fallen off the path. He's a friend of all. He's not just Zacchaeus' friend, and he's not just Matthew's friend. He's your friend too. And that's why a few weeks ago I shared Revelation 3:20, where Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Right? He's standing there because he desires a relationship with you. And a friend doesn't just barge in. That's an annoyance. That's an enemy. But Jesus is standing there. And he's waiting for you to open the door, to climb down the tree. He's not just a friend of Zacchaeus. He's not just a friend of Matthew or the woman caught in adultery. You know, with my job, there's a lot of hard days and a lot of hard nights. But with that, there's a lot of wonderful days and amazing nights. I get a front row seat of seeing how Jesus is your friend and how that has changed your heart. And you know how awesome that is? To have a front row seat, just looking around in this room right here, and seeing so many of you that have said yes to Christ and knowing a little bit about your story and how he has changed your life and is changing your life. Amen. And there are so many stories to share. But you know, one of the most powerful stories, and we were just talking about this in our life group this week, as we all talked about learning our story in life group. You know the story that I find probably the most amazing story, and I can say that with 100% honesty. It's not the story of the person that ran in a gang, turned from alcohol, was homeless, had a porn addiction. All those are amazing stories. But you know one of the most powerful stories that I've heard is that person that says, you know what? My story doesn't matter. And I go, what are you talking about? Well, I didn't do any of that stuff. I was born into a good family, and I went to church every Sunday. Veered away maybe once in a while. And I'm living and walking in Christ today. And I'm married to a godly man, godly woman, and we're trying our best to raise godly children. And I'm just staying steadfast in this race. If that's you, can I just tell you that I don't know a person on this earth that wouldn't want that as their testimony? They would trade it in for the drug addiction, the sex addiction, the climbing the corporate ladder, the dot, dot, dot. Amen, church? Never underestimate Jesus as your friend and your story. And I am so honored to know so many people at West Valley that have that testimony. Don't underestimate that. Praise God for that story. And then there is the other side. And I'm not saying to what extent, but I do. I get a front row seat of seeing some things that are just unbelievable. I just got reconnected because of social media with a young lady that used to come to our church, and some of you have heard this story, but you know, she said, teach me how to learn to love myself. And a beautiful girl, and you would go, what? What are you talking about? And then she tells you the story, and you fill in the blank. She was one of the high-end top, you know, prostitutes in Las Vegas and flying all over the world and doing that whole kind of thing and money all over the place and just all sorts of craziness. You could fill in the blanks. And here she is at this little church when we met in the A-frame going, teach me how to love myself. And she would quietly come, and nobody knew of this. She was willing to share her story with me, and I hooked her up with some ladies in our church, and they started studying the Bible together, and I baptized her. And now you fast forward, I don't know, maybe it's been 10 years, and she's happily married, owns her own business, living in a different state, and walking with the Lord. And you just go, God, that is so good. We're going to be baptizing a young boy here next service. And it's going to be crazy for me because his mother's story is amazing. And we've actually captured that on video, and we've shared it a few times. But her story is crazy, crazy, like crazy, crazy. And she gave her life to the Lord many years back. She married a great man. She's got a good profession today. Her husband puts her kid in a Christian school, and he's getting baptized today. Amen. You see, what I'm telling you is it doesn't matter what our past is. Jesus still can be our friend. Jesus wants to be our friend. Jesus wants to be your friend. And I want to close with this. Jesus is my friend. I shared last week my story more than I've ever shared. And I appreciate those of you that came alongside and encouraged me with that. But it reminded me of how far I've really come. And yet, how far I still have to go. But in realizing the good, the bad, and ugly of life that I've endured, walked through for 30 years with Christ, life is so much better with Jesus as my friend than it was with Jesus as not my friend. I sat in that sycamore tree for a long time. I sat in that sycamore tree for a long time. He's really worked on that loneliness in my life, that insecurity in my life, the lack of purpose in my life. So I could say Jesus is my friend. And I thank him for that. He knows my name. And he knows my sin. And he still loves me. And guess what? He still loves you. Is Jesus your friend? I mean, it's great that we could say he's a friend. That puts it out there. It's great that we could say he's your friend because it still keeps it away from ourselves. But can you say, Jesus is my friend? For those of you that have walked with the Lord for many, many years, I hope and pray that you could say that still today. And if you can't, as Revelation says, come back to that first love. Get back down out of that tree and say yes to Jesus. And for that person that's hearing this message for the very first time, I don't know what your tree looks like, but obviously you've climbed up because you're sitting in a purple chair today. Jesus says to you, today is the day. Come down immediately and say yes to me. Your life will never be the same. If that's you, don't put it off. Say yes today. Please speak to me as one of the pastors. Go to the Welcome Center and say, hey, I heard what Pastor Rob said, and I need to speak to a pastor right here, right now. We've got plenty of pastors that would love to talk to you. Jesus is my friend. Father in heaven, thank you. I'm sure there were people in my life growing up that never thought I would say that. And yet here I am, 30 years of saying yes. God, for that person today that is stuck up in the tree, I pray today would be the day that they climb down and say yes to you. Give them the courage, God. For that person that said yes many years ago that maybe has walked away, for that person too, help them find you again today. I love you. We love you. In the powerful name of Jesus Christ, amen. Remember,
Lord. You can follow us on Facebook and Instagram at WVCCH. If you'd like more information about our church or services, please visit our website, wvcch.org. Thank you for tuning in. Your tender mercies and your love that you've always shown me. You forget all my rebellions that you've always shown me. You forget all my rebellions and my transgressions.